Alrighty. Well, just to make sure you know where you are, we are in pain. Talking about pain. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. No, so very, very appropriate with our service this morning. Topic was very, very fitting for where we're going to be going today. This is week 11, so we will meet next week, and that will be the end of our time. For anybody that has missed any of the classes, okay, they're all recorded and online. Okay, so you'll be able to hear the audio. You'll be able to probably hear when I take the mic off of this and hold it in front of John Kiever's voice. I think I got up a few times when some folks would talk around the room and try to get the mic closer, so you might have to turn it up a little bit to hear when other people in the circle share. So when you go online, you'll hear the audio. It's just a matter of going and hitting play. And then the actual notes that you're holding in your hand are also downloadable there. You just click a little arrow, and you can have everything that you would have as if you were here, except our faces. So that's... And next week, I'll also mention... I'll bring a list of some of the resources that I've used for the class as well. There's been numerous books and things that John and I have consulted that have enabled us to teach this class. So I'll make sure that if you guys want to do more extensive reading on the topics, that you'll know what some of those resources are. Okay. Well, let me open us up in prayer, and then we will jump in. Hey, good morning. Just in time for prayer. Hey, Jack. I think we have a handout. Let me grab a handout real quick here first for them. There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this class, and thank you for the opportunity to gather as friends and family here at church, and Lord, to be able to dive into a very relevant topic, pain and suffering. Are not just an accidental thing that happened, as we have been reminded of this morning from Todd. Lord, that pain and suffering are your plan to grow us, to sanctify us. Lord, to remind us that we're not at home. Lord, to propel us to move towards each other with encouragement, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to grieve with those who grieve. And Lord, we know that this is all your design. And Lord, so it's our desire to become greater students of your design, and Lord, to understand these deep truths that are counterintuitive, as Todd mentioned. And Lord, what it actually means to count it all joy, that is in fact very countercultural. And Lord, and yet you've called us to be joyful in our situations and our circumstances. And yet we know that joy and sorrow do mix together, as Todd reminded us of, and as your word reminds us of, and as we've talked about in this class, Lord. So we do just pray that as we dive into this material today, Lord, we pray that you would use it for your glory and purposes, and that that you would equip us as your saints to be able to love well and to care well for others. And Lord, that you would and that you may help us to know your truth and what your word says about pain and suffering. So we give all this to you. We thank you for each person here and the stories that they have to tell with their own pain and suffering. Lord, I do pray that that all that we do here would meet people where they are. We know that your spirit transcends what happens here, and we're thankful for that truth as well. And so, Lord, we give this time to you now and ask you to bless it. And would, Lord, be with John as he enjoys time with grandchildren. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right. All right. So where we are this week and next week, John and I are still thinking about what next week will actually look like, how to kind of wrap things up a little bit. But where we are today is moving to spend more time with very practical skills about how to live out empathy, how to live out coming alongside each other in pain and suffering, And so that's where we're going. So there'll be a few things that we review, of course, from previous weeks that will come up. So let's go ahead and jump in. Let's look at this first slide, this three-step roadmap to other-centeredness. This slide has been in the last couple of classes, but it just provides a real important outline, just sort of a roadmap for us to be thinking about when we think about other-centeredness, in particular, moving towards others. And so the entering in piece, okay, what was it like for you? All right, so that's, you know, we're looking to, you know, to hear and understand to the best of our ability through the Spirit what someone else is experiencing. And here's the key, we are trying to learn their story, learn their circumstances. You hear the outward, okay, not mix it with ours, you know, and, oh, well, that reminds me of, you know, when I was da-da-da, you know. Okay, there may be times, I'm not saying that is not inappropriate at times, but when we're being other-centered, we're entering in for the purpose of helping that other person to experience comfort and relief from their distress and to not be alone. That's really what we're focusing on. So what was it like for you? Okay, and so we're learning someone else's story without any judgment, without any, like, huh, and that's how you reacted? You know, or that, and that's what you thought? No, it's helping them to feel heard, understood, even validated to a certain degree. Validation does not mean that I agree with you, right? Validation just means I can see how you would see it that way. Or, yeah, that must be really hard. I might have said that, I might have thought that too. You know, just sprinkling statements like this. They're entering in, hearing and understanding what someone else is experiencing. Okay, then the second piece of the roadmap there, and we're kind of saying the same thing, but just in a little more depth, to connect. So to hear and demonstrate that you've heard them. And how do we do that? How do we help people to know that they're being heard and that we're present with them? Certainly our physical presence is there. You know, if Kevin is talking and I'm looking at him and I can see his face, I can see his eyes, I can see his posture, I can hear the tone of his voice, I'm physically present, and that person is able to see that I am physically present with them and I'm dialed in. He's also expressing thoughts. He's also expressing feelings. Okay, so those are two other parts of us. Okay, so I'm able to, as he uses content and words, which we have to communicate, even though that's only about 20% of communication, my physical presence and just watching him and listening to him is about 80% of what I'm getting from Kevin. But as he uses words and expresses thoughts and feelings, I'm now, even with that 20%, I'm taking the time to say, you know what? Just because he's using words doesn't mean I know what he means by those words. Just because he says I'm feeling confused, that doesn't mean that I know what his confusion means. Okay, I know what my confusion means. I know what sadness might mean to me, but I have no idea what confusion and sadness might mean to Kevin. So I ask him, hey, tell me about your confusion. Help me understand that. And as he talks, I'm summarizing back to him and reflecting back to him. You know, just to make sure I'm tracking with you, Kevin, you know, you said that this situation was really, really hard for these reasons. And that for these reasons, I'm really torn. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, actually, Greg, that's exactly what I was saying. But I would add this one piece. And then I would say, okay, so with the addition of this piece and what you said earlier, that's what you mean? And you're going, yes. Okay, go on. Okay, so now I am now connected to his thoughts and some of what he's feeling is in addition to his physical presence. So we're trying to hear and demonstrate that we are hearing what that person is saying. Okay?
I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
How do you keep that from just being a mechanical approach?
Yeah.
Like, like driving the car, stay in the lines, do the speed limit,
sure,
pay attention, as opposed to actually hearing. Are you Kevin?
I'm Kevin.
I thought he was looking at you. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, not, yeah, I was just, I could have easily looked at you, yeah. Jack, so, you know.
Yeah, so really, hear, I mean, that's my question.
Yeah, yep, and I'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, great. That's a great question, yeah. So the third part of the roadmap, again, is allowing other people's experiences to impact you, okay? This gets to your question, okay? So I'm not just going through the, what do I do with Kevin here? Okay, I got open-ended questions. Oh, yeah, okay, you know, he used a feeling in there, okay, and, oh, wait a minute, but it's not my feeling, it's his feeling. Oh, what are you feeling? You know, tell me about that, right? So to answer the question is practice.
Practice, right. Got it.
Okay. It
also means failure, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And it's also hopefully building trust and rapport. I think that when we have a connection and we have a relationship with someone, if I am missing that person, or if they are feeling more like a project, or if they are feeling more I know he's trying hard or she's trying hard, but it just seems a little bit, you know, too structured or, you know, too matter of fact or whatever, that person, if there is relationship and trust, will be able to receive what's being given to them, okay, but be able to not let that derail the conversation, I think. But then I think the best thing to be is, especially if you're the one that is doing the questioning and the caring, is to just say, hey, I'm just own the fact that, hey, these are areas, thank you for being willing to share with me. These are areas, you know, just even as you shared with me that you're struggling and in distress, I'm aware that inside I'm immediately feeling a little bit of distress because I want to move towards you and I want to talk to you and I want to care for you, and yet I'm still learning how to do that. And so would you be willing to do one of these? I'm doing a timeout for the tape here during the conversation. Just say, hey, could you maybe rephrase that question that you asked? I would like it if you would do those kinds of things, because I'm learning and I want to try to be helpful and I don't want you to be a project, all these kinds of things. I'm not saying that that's a script to use every time you sit down with somebody. Okay, and by the way, before I say anything, I don't know anything that I'm doing here and I want you to talk, but I'm going to probably mess it up a little bit. Will you correct me? No, now we're putting way too much weight on them and they're trying to care for them. But I think just having a posture of humility, and I think, again, because that nonverbal, the physical presence and your countenance are 80%, okay, I think that the 20% of the actual question that you ask might be able to be gracefully overlooked if it's not exactly the best way, because they can tell that you're present even if you have no idea the right questions to ask. And so I think to lean towards being physically present, yeah, I think of that definition or phrase where, you know, if needed, use words. You know, your physical presence is the most important thing that you can possibly give to someone when they're in distress, because at least physically, they know that they're not alone at that moment. They see another person there. And maybe it's just your gaze. If, depending on the relationship, you know, to just be able to, you know, a little physical touch, you know, very comfortable. You know, again, it depends on your rapport and those kinds of things that you have on that. But physical touch and your physical presence can be incredibly powerful in caring for someone and helping and entering in to their situation and allowing silence. And just quiet to ruminate in the space that you're in. And because again, when we are in distress, sometimes it's hard to find words. had to sit with the crab trees at the hospital. And it was good to just not, to have silence and not a lot of words. It's like Todd was saying, you know, because we know the Lord, there's hugs, there's just sitting together, there's quiet, there's reflecting, occasional story or memory that's shared. So there was clearly joy and sorrow together in that room. So that's and that that is what is caring for them. Okay. And Todd is right, reading scripture. Okay, we'll come back to what he was saying if you were in first service. Just I think it was so important what he said, because John and I joke a lot about, you know, hey, here's two verses, call me in the morning kind of thing. And I think just while I'm thinking about that now, I think what's so important about that, what he was describing with that staff person, okay, I think the reason that that can happen is because there is already relationship.
Right.
Okay. All right. So if, you know, if I go into the hospital and I'm visiting with someone that I have, you know, I have to look them up, you know, their first and last name, so that when I go into their room, I'm not like, so what's your name? You know, so I can remember their name, for me to go in there and to offer verses right away. You know, hey, I know things are hard right now, but you know, everything, God's working for everything for the good, you know, and you're going to be okay. And you know, these kinds of things, that would be, that does tremendous damage. Okay. So it's like anything, as Todd was saying, you know, God's word and verses are so important. We do need that. Absolutely, we need that. But there is a timing, I think, that's important to take into consideration, and he actually acknowledged that as well. So I think that it's a case of being able to, even in situations that you get into, be to have an attitude of prayer. Lord, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. You know, even as I move towards difficult situations that require and are needing attention and care, Lord, asking the Lord to help me to know what's a good recipe or a good ingredient of the timing of the things that we do when we move towards folks. What, you know, silence and solitude and maybe just a gentle touch on the shoulder, you know, and then maybe a time of prayer, and then maybe just allowing them to talk, and then, I would love to read a passage of scripture that has really encouraged me, and I think could be encouraging me. Would you be okay with that? You know, even something like that, okay? And you know, whereas if we come in with a statement, okay, hey, here's what you need to hear right now, you know, and I'm going to read this because that's, you know, and it is God's word. There isn't anything more powerful. Okay, so it's, again, taking those things that are true and nuancing them, taking into account that we're not merely cognitive beings that need to hear objective truth, but we also need validation and understanding of the emotional part of us. And then that physical presence, as we already talked about, is such a rich way to enter into someone's distress. And so again, that care of that roadmap, that's the empathy. It's really moving towards understanding and experiencing that the emotion that they're having, and it's the connecting point that then allows you to pursue their personal experience. What was it like for you? Okay, and just reminding everything that we've talked about here, the only way that you're actually able to then be empathetic and pursue their experience, okay, is that somewhere down the line in your life, you are aware of your own sorrow and your own grief, okay? So here you're now connecting on what the emotion can feel like in terms of sorrow and grief, okay? But now we're getting personal, okay? So I have an idea of what grief is like as I talk to someone else who's grieving in a way that I have no idea what they're, because I do not understand how Greg, I do not understand chronic pain for 20 years, agonizing pain for 20 years. I do not understand that, but
but I do understand pain in different areas, right? And so please, Greg, tell me about your pain. Carol, tell me about your pain as you say goodbye to your husband. Didn't even have a chance to say goodbye because he was unconscious at Walmart, right? So there were no goodbyes, right? So I don't understand that kind of pain and that kind of separation like that. So help me understand your experience, Carol. What are you going through? Those kinds of things. So, okay, so with that, let's jump into the entering in some of these practical things. Okay, so to hear and understand what someone is experiencing, okay? So we're not just hearing words or getting a sense of circumstances, right? But it's listening to the emotional language. It's watching for what's happening physically, what's happening with their eyes. You know, Jack said, "Are you okay? What are you feeling?" You know, because I was in a moment there and he noticed that. And other people, when we notice that, that in a way just affirms that, hey, someone else is with you and they're noticing even those things, right? Okay. Watching for gestures, listening to tone of voice. Okay. So that's often what we have to do. I mean, texting is the worst, or social media is the worst in terms of trying to really connect on deep levels. A phone call, you at least have, you can hear voice a little bit, you can hear inflection, you can hear the tone, you can hear long pauses when they're talking, those kinds of things. So that's better. It's still, we're still missing all of that visual, but we've got some of that auditory, which is really good. Okay. So common mistake there to think, what would it be like for me if I was this person? Okay, so when we do this, or we make that our starting point, okay, so yes, we want to be, when someone else says that they just got fired at work or whatever, and maybe you were fired at work one time, you know, and you immediately go back to, oh, I remember when I was fired at work and what that was like for me, that's normal. Don't hear like, I can't believe you thought about your own experience. I'm not saying that. But it's normal for you to go there, but then to be able to realize, okay, that was my experience. Okay, so I have an experience. I have a story that's related to being fired, but I have no idea the circumstances of their firing. Okay, and so the only thing I bring to the table is a common experience of what might someone go through that's been fired. Okay, but it's going to be different for everybody. But when we make that our starting point, what would it be like for me? We often end up exploring our own hearts and assume that another person's heart is like ours. Okay, and so we don't learn much about them and end up revealing a lot of ourselves in that conversation when it's really meant to be about him. And then so we're responding to that person. We think we're responding and caring for them, but in fact, we're just sort of reliving how we felt cared for and what was helpful for us and the train of thought that went with our minds, you know, when we were going through it. And so we have to make room to hear things that we might not expect. Okay, well, if they're fired, of course they're going to be angry at their boss, you know, or they're going to feel like they got the shaft, or they're going to all these things, okay? And so I am assuming that I know their story before they've said one word, okay? And then I'm projecting upon them how I think they're going to react or are reacting or what they're thinking. I've actually depersonalized them. I've said, I know you're a person, but I have you all figured out already. I don't even need to ask. In fact, I can just tell you what to do because I've been through that. And then here you are on the other end receiving that. And I think you can imagine what that might be like. So when we start imagining what we would do, we often do not judge well of our own emotions in a situation, and we simplify it to a single one, okay, if this makes sense. So, for example, someone shares that my spouse was unfaithful. Okay. We may assume the first response would be anger. Okay. So we got to be careful not to assume, and we can't add our story to theirs. So the truth of the matter is that there could be many other things they're feeling and thinking other than anger. Okay, I'm not saying that it's not a good guess, okay, but we don't want to be guessing with people. We want to give them a chance to tell us, right? So a person might be blaming themselves. Man, my spouse had an affair. Huh. Something must have been wrong with me. Why would they do that? Oh, what have I done? Oh, agonize over that. They might be feeling ashamed. Huh. I wasn't enough for that person. Something must be wrong with me. We've talked about shame. Shame is God's description of what shame is when we violate God's law, when we don't live by design, he, by his grace, allows us to fear, to feel that emotion of shame that reminds us that we have become our own authority and that we have violated God's design. But in this case, you know, they've taken shame and saying, something is wrong with me. I am deficient or I'm not worthy of being loved, or there's self-contempt that they have, right? So that could be going on. The humiliation of a spouse leaving, they might be feeling something like that. Everyone thinking that I'm a terrible person, or the person that left, you know, you don't deserve to be treated that way. You know, there could be those kinds of things. You might be afraid of losing your spouse rather than being angry. That person has had an affair. Oh, no, is this the end? Wow, am I going to be alone the rest of my life? Is this relationship going to be resolved? How's this going to affect the children? They might just be numb in that moment. We've talked about how when we go through trauma or go through different trials that we just can shut down at times. And that's just giving our body a pause. That's a good, numbness and anger can be a good thing sometimes, as we've talked about, because that gives us a break. It doesn't resolve the abandonment, the adultery, all that's happened, the hurt, the sorrow, the confusion, but it gives us a break for just a moment to be able to get our things together and to think and to reflect. Everything happened. So you get the picture. So here you find out that someone shares with you that their spouse was unfaithful, and oh, you must be terribly angry right now. No. So be very, very careful. You know, that's just an example of a situation. Entering in means to invite another person to tell you what it is like for them to be them. It is not you imagining that you are them. Okay, so that's what that slide there. Okay. I think what I'd like to do, what I'll do is I want to keep rolling through this, and then I want you to just like make little marks and hopefully we'll have time for questions. And this will part of what happens here will depend on what we do next week. It could be that next week all we do is ask questions. Hey, there's been so many things that we've talked about that I've wanted to get more input on. That might be all we do next week. And it might be that we have more content and material. It might be that we summarize everything that we've done. But just yes. But jot down if there are things that you want to talk about. Okay. All right. So let's go to the next page here. Connecting. All right. So we're getting into... Okay, so you see, so the entering in, that's the roadmap that we talked about first. Now we're in the connect part, hearing and demonstrating that you have heard them, right? So you see the first bullet point there. It means you tell someone what you have heard and demonstrate that you have heard it. Okay, so essentially, and there's some examples below that, okay? Fear, ashamed, numb. So it's a summary and a reflection that's phrased as a question. Okay, not I hear you saying statement. Okay, but this is what I hear you saying. This is what I think I hear you saying. You see, and if you just glance at these, the fear, ashamed, and numb, some of the examples there, you can see some of the language there. You know, things like, you know, so after you say, this is what I've heard, or, you know, am I hearing you right? You know, something like that. That can be a little question you put on the end. I just want to clarify what I think you said. Was this what you were saying? Bing, 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 bing. Now, is that what you meant? Or is that what you were saying? Okay. You know, one of my favorites is, hey, just want to make sure I'm tracking with you. This is what I think I heard you said. Is that what you meant? You know, or is there anything that I'm missing? Because I want to make sure that I'm tracking with you. And then, yeah, you got it, Greg. Cool, okay, go on. Okay. Well, no, actually, Greg, you missed. I think you got confused by something I said. Let me try again. Okay, good, please do. And then they give it to me a second time and I say, okay, so make sure I got it this time. Bing, 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 bing. Is that right? Yes, you got it. Okay. So that's the clarifying, okay, and just the honoring that person and saying, hey, I do not want to assume that I think you know what you're saying and what you mean. Okay? It's honoring what you're saying, knowing that meanings of words are in people. Just because I heard you say a word that I know what it means, that means that I know what you mean by it. No, I need to ask you what you mean by it. Okay? Some other, you know, like, my sense is that you are, or sounds as though you are, or am I correct in what I, and what, with what I'm hearing, with what I'm saying? So if you look at some of these words here, you know, in the fear and the ashamed, right, and the numb, you see the tentativeness, okay, and the tentativeness is on purpose because you don't want to just assume that because I come back robotically maybe and mechanically say what, maybe I just repeated what they said, that means I understood. I really understood what they meant. Okay, so it sounds like, you know, and I'm hearing that, and I get the sense, you know, numb, I get the sense you don't feel anything right now. I wonder if there may be too much happening for you to even know what you're feeling right now. See, so it's a question. It doesn't even have the inflection, but just starting those sentences with those words that are more, that allow for interpretation and allow for that person to correct and to not feel that I've made a definitive, declarative statement that's going to always be right on target, right? Okay? So that's what we're shooting for with connecting. Okay? All right, so next page, common mistakes that we make with connecting. All right? Moving into a fixing mode. Okay? All right, so we've talked about that. And I will ask this question just because we've asked it before and I think it's a good one. When you are in a conversation with someone and you are experiencing a sense that they're trying to solve a problem or that you've become a project, well, if you would just think about doing this instead of this or whatever, that kind of thing, how does it impact you? Just a couple of people. How does it impact you when you're in distress and you're sharing something and that person is thinking, hey, I've got some great advice for you. Here's how we can take care of this. Okay. Irritation, possibly, okay? Any else? Yep. Sure, yep.
There's something they're not, like they assume that they see everything. It's like,
yes.
No, there's a lot more here and you obviously don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, it makes it difficult to trust that person and that person seems far too certain of what's going on without too many questions being asked. Yes, John.
That reminds me of that lady you used to be in the radio, Dr. Laura.
Dr. Laura, okay.
She knew all the answers for someone's problem.
Okay.
She had no idea how bad her answer might have been.
Okay.
Misguided. Advice.
I gotcha.
You know,
sure.
You knew it all.
Yeah. Was Dear Abby in the paper? Was that something like what that was about?
Dear Abby.
I don't know. Were they just somebody shares their woes and
Yeah, okay, I've aged myself. Okay, so anyway, but yeah, those call-in places or whatever that just give you quick fixes or whatever. So, all right, so, yeah. Oh, yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I feel confused sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it's oversimplifying. It can be an oversimplified answer.
Sure, yep. Yeah. So it's oversimplifying and can create confusion. Okay, was anybody else want to add? I don't want to cut anybody off. My peripheral wasn't good. Thank you for jumping in. Right. Yep. So when you're in emotional distress, yeah, we're not looking for answers. We're looking for someone's presence and knowing that we're not alone. And yep. Thank you. Okay. So a couple other thoughts too. You know, and you see it there. It actually invalidates what a hurting person has shared. Okay. So when you are trying to fix somebody or something, you are putting yourself in a position to judge. You've got all the information, you've got all the data. Here we go. This, do this, don't do that, do this. Okay? And we're taking almost a one-up position. I got this figured out. You obviously don't. You're not saying it, you're not being that cruel or cold. But your heart and your motives are taking you that direction. It's about me being the problem solver and feeling better about myself afterwards that I've actually had an impact, right? But here's the deal, though, is that whenever we believe that our presence, our physical presence, is not enough, then it's going to be about us. So the physical presence is about 80%, right? Okay, just being present, being able to listen, to hear, and then you sprinkle some words in there, but they're tentative words. They're, hey, this is what I think I hear. You know, this is what, I wonder if you might be feeling this. I get a sense of this. Does that even come close to what's going on? And so there's humility there. You know, even as you can tell the person is engaged with you, they are aware that that they're the only ones that have the information that is going to be helpful to this connection, right? Okay, so. So you see the second bullet there. We communicate that their emotions need to be adjusted in some way, or that things is not as bad as they think. That's back to the fixing. You know, it's a supplementary point to the first one there. Oh, how come you feel that way? Really? Oh, I wouldn't have thought you felt that way. I would have thought you would have felt this way. You know? Oh. Well, okay. You know. Awkwardness. I don't really feel that dialed in, that this person's dialed in that much anymore. So, all right, and then something that that Todd mentioned, again, we've talked about. So we offer biblical truths or trite phrases that might be helpful, and here's the key, at another time, okay? But don't meet the needs of the moment, okay? So again, you know, we are saying that, you know, trite phrases are in and of themselves, not some evil or bad thing, okay? But they are an ingredient to be used at a proper time and a proper place, okay? So some are just not super helpful most of the time, but, you know, oh, it'll get better, you know? We might say something like that, but... Oh, yeah.
Or like, you know, Job, yep. Or like that kind of stuff. Where
exactly.
Like, this person's feeling.
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
But as opposed to, it's all going to work out. Good.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And again, it's about timing. It's about timing and relationship, I think. And so, So yes, I think that, I don't hear me saying that when we go into a situation, the furthest thing that we should be thinking about is a passage of scripture. Okay, that is not what I'm saying. Okay, but I think it's based on what we know. You know, as we move into our suffering, as Todd reminded us, you know, what we know is critical. That theology that we have, what we know is true about God, He's good and He is sovereign. Those things are anchor points for us, okay? But we also know from the Psalms that it's okay to be sorrowful, and it's okay to grieve, and it's okay to be confused, and it's okay to express your feelings of abandonment. And, you know, God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus said that to himself. Jesus said that on the cross. So those emotions are present, and God wants us to engage him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul. Okay, so what we're thinking, what we're feeling, it's not just, God, you said this, all things work for the good. I don't believe that right now. Agonizing. Okay, I know you say this, but I really struggle to believe that right now where I am in the moment. Okay, so here you have them both, confusion and pain and even doubt mingling with God's truth. Okay, doesn't mean that he's abandoned, he or she has abandoned that truth. Okay, but it means they're coexisting together. Okay, and so I think when we care, as we move towards people and we connect with people, we're moving towards people with trying to engage them in an integrated way, integrated, cognitive, emotional, physical, okay? And so that's good theology, it's good truth, but it's also engaging the emotions. It's also, they're engaging their physical presence, okay? What we were talking about earlier, might not be any words at all, and people just come to you and they just say, Greg, I can't, or Susie, or Jimmy. And here's what I'll even say this at times. Thanks so much for your care, Greg. Man, I haven't done squat. Thank you for that, but I haven't done anything. Oh, you've done way more than you know. And then they have to remind me. Well, just you being here. Just
somebody to listen.
And someone to listen, right? That those are some of the greatest gifts that you can give to people that are in need of comfort and care. Okay, so again, just as you, when you move into a situation, a care situation, just try to keep that integration idea in mind. Okay, this is not just a cognitive person that needs to be reminded of truth, but they're also a person that needs to be. That might feel very alone right now and that needs to experience your presence, or that might need to talk, to put words to what's going on in their internal world, and to have you reflect back and, hey, is this what's going on there? Yes, somebody else gets me. I'm no longer alone. Circumstances have not changed at all. My husband just died, but I feel connected. I'm not alone in this grief, in this sorrow, right? So there was a paragraph that I read in one of these books, which I thought was so appropriate. This is a quote from someone who experienced trite phrases in their suffering. Okay, and this is what they said. So. Dear brother and sister, please let me suffer a little bit. Hurt with me before you try and make me feel better. The next person who watches me suffer and immediately throws Romans 8:28 at me will be sucker punched. In love. And then he says, and while that punch is still hurting, I'll remind you of Romans 8:28. So again, I think a really funny but very true kind of comment. What's that? Oh, from I'll tell you next week. There's like six of them. I got to look at them. Remember where that one was. So I'll let you know. So just again, a reminder that silence and stillness are what help people to come down from their distress more than anything else and help you to connect. Okay? The more noise there is with words, the harder it is to just be able to think and to reflect and to be aware of what's going on inside of you. Okay? All right. All right, next slide. Let's take a look. All right, so in order to genuinely care, you must allow other people's experiences to impact you. Okay, so now we're talking more about empathy, right? So this means allowing yourself to feel what they feel so that their joy is your joy and their grief is your grief. Okay, that's the rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep, right? So as I am with another person, I understand sorrow, but it's my sorrow. I want to understand their sorrow. And so as I come to a greater understanding of their sorrow, then the weeping is not just weeping about my own past sorrow that I can connect with. And I'm ashamed to say, but sometimes when I'm in counseling, so I'm talking with somebody that's talking about their father who passed away and all that they're going through, and I can't help, you know, the tears will well up because I'm still recovering from my own father's death from 3-4 years ago. So it doesn't mean, oh, now I'm not doing a good job. Okay, God has given us all of those experiences to enable us to be empathetic and to connect us with other people. So it's not like, oh, you just need to like la 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 la. No, I need to, hey, that's my story. And because that's my story, I have another person in front of me who has lost a father. Wow, I know something about what that's like, but tell me what it's like for you. What are you going through, right? So it's a mixing. It's not like, you know, you're not looking to try to push away your own experiences when they come up emotionally, because God has given those experiences to us to help us to be able to move towards others, right? Okay? So now an important distinction here, okay? We'll talk about caring. So we're rejoicing with those who rejoice, and we are weeping with those who weep, okay? But we are not carrying their feelings. Situations are their problems. Okay? Now what do I mean by that? Does anybody just have what might be a thought that you have? Right. Right.
You can't fix anybody else's problem.
Right.
And along with that is leading them, maybe there's things that you can say, but leading them to solve their own issue. Mm-hmm. And then they have ownership of it, and they move forward themselves.
Right. That's right. That's right. So, yeah, very well said, Loretta. So for the tape, yeah, we can only control what we can control, which is our availability and our presence. We can be available, faithful, and present, okay? But we cannot change that person's emotions. We cannot change that person's thoughts. We cannot grieve for them. We can't do their own grief work. We can't deal with their anger, with their confusion, okay? But we can point them to, and we can do that best by being present, the things that we've already talked about, by being with them. They're no longer alone. And so now that they have someone, it's a side-by-side approach, you know, where we're coming alongside each other, okay? Now that doesn't mean, I don't want you to hear that someone that's had a terrible accident and they need, therefore they're not able to, and they need to move, that we don't help them move, okay? Because they need that practical help. But so, I don't, you know, just in that analogy even of carrying their, yeah, but, oh, I'm so sorry about your injury, but, you know, hey, good luck with that move, you know? No, I'm not saying that. Okay, but that's something very different, okay? We're not owning their situation and becoming as if, like, that now this is my problem and my situation to deal with. But we're caring for them, and so that's I just wanted to make that really clear. And the boundaries can be really fuzzy for folks, you know, and you know when they come in and they're in crisis, their crisis becomes your crisis, okay. And now I find myself on automatic pilot, gravitating towards fixing. You know, this person needs me. And if they don't have me, it's just gonna, you know, result in chaos, and they're just gonna go downhill. And that's actually a very arrogant thing to do, and it's very uncaring to do that, because ultimately that person, then you're not enabling them. You actually enable them not to deal with it on their own because you're taking responsibility for those things. So something to be very, very careful of. All right. So again, you want this person to know that you hear them and that you've been impacted by what they've shared. So you're joining their story and their emotions, but you're doing that through your availability, through your presence, through the connecting and the listening and the pointing, you know, the things like that that have come up. One last point, I think, on this is, again, we can, all of us can feel a pull towards fixing. There isn't anybody here that does not feel that at some point, because that does feel more controlling. It does feel more secure to offer an advice. Hey, call this number. You know, have you thought about this? You know, and all of us want to have impact. You know, and so we can gravitate that way. But be very, very careful to provide anything unsolicited. Provide advice when asked. Okay? But in general, how can I help? I think is a great open-ended general question that you can apply with caring. Okay? So some of these statements in the slide there are just some examples of empathetic kinds of statements and comments. So the idea is that once you have established that you have connected, you know, all the tentativeness, right? When that is there, okay, and now you're dialed in. They know they felt heard, they felt understood, they felt validated, and. You're not just projecting your own experience on it, and as you're with that person, then these are just examples of empathetic things that can be said at the right time, the right place, you know, just for encouragement. And so those are just examples of that. So, all right. Okay. You know what? It is... What time is that clock right? Is it like 2 or 3 minutes too? Okay. Let's come back to this slide. No reason to dive into once. We'll get through a sentence or two, and then we're going to end up coming back to it anyway. So we'll come back to this slide next week, and we'll take the last 2 or 3 minutes to see if there's any comments or questions that we can address in a few minutes of time. So for the tape, yeah, Kate was just talking about, I really heard the word practice in there, just doing it over and over, and something, something that the more that you do something, the more organic it becomes, and the more nuanced it becomes, and the more natural it becomes. And so, but again, give grace to yourself, okay? When you go to Mexico and you've got a Mexico dictionary with you, it's going to be mechanical, asking directions and what you do, and they're going to, people are going to laugh at you and smile like, oh, you know, no, it's not como te, you know, it's, you know, they'll correct you in the way you say things, and but then you can just kind of laugh, and then but continue to move towards, you know, trying to use the language. And so what we're talking about here, caring and connecting, it is a new language that we're learning. Let's just, because it's the exception that when someone is has an emotional language and is able to put words to the heart, that really is the exception. When folks can do that, and so, but to give yourself grace, and the more you do it, the more natural it will become. So, but I know that people generally appreciate the effort, even if it is awkward. You know, thanks for that question, Greg. I wish somebody would have asked me that question. No one ever asked me that question. You know, and so even if it comes out a little, even if you're uncomfortable with it, there's usually grace there on the other side. So keep persevering through that. So any other thoughts, comments?
I think it means a lot to people just to know that you took the time to ask how they are and what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because that says that they took one more step than somebody that just passes you and doesn't acknowledge you at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I think that means a lot to people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even if you don't do it perfectly, it says that you cared enough to ask.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So Billy just reminding us how important it is just to take the initiative. You know, entering in is not passive. Okay, it's just a little knock. Hey, look like you've had a hard day. What's happening? Yep. So taking that initiative and asking those questions, yep. So there isn't a greater compliment than asking someone else a question about themselves. It could be feeling, it could be a thought. Yeah. And you know, when John talks about, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, and then you just walk right by, you know, he gives us all a hard time about that, and appropriately so. I think I've had, you know, not just to make him happy, change my language, but if I'm really going to ask somebody that question, words mean something. You know, hi. That's more accurate. But I'm sitting with Billy. How's it going?
Great.
You know, right? totally different. So, all right. Well, hey, let me go ahead. Yeah, now we're over time. All right. So let me go ahead and close this in prayer. All right. Lord God, we are trusting that everything that's happened here today in our discussion, Lord, we're trusting, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will enable us to sift out the wheat from the chaff. Lord, if there's anything here that we've talked about that's not of you, I pray that we would set that aside. Lord, if there are things that you want us to camp out on, Lord, that are of your design, that are validated in your word, Lord, that would be useful for us to love others well and to care well for others, to connect with others that are struggling and in pain. Lord, I pray by your Spirit that we'd remember those things. And Lord, I pray that you'd go with us now. And Lord, that you would allow us to be your ambassadors. We would allow our difficult and exciting life experiences, Lord, that we would allow those experiences to impact us, and that we would we'd be able to point others to you in those various situations that we encounter. And thanks again for this group, and just for the thoughts that are freely shared, and just Lord, how much more we're blessed when others contribute to this discussion. And so thank you for that, Lord. We give the rest of this day to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome.
Yep.